Welcome to Philanthropy Chat, the Foundation Center's series of podcasts featuring philanthropy and fundraising experts who are making a difference in the field and beyond. Learn more about how the Foundation Center can help you make a difference at foundationcenter.org.
I'm Jimmy Tom, Director of the New York Office of the Foundation Center. Speaking with me today is Beverly Schwartz, who is the Vice President of Global Marketing at Ashoka. She's the author of the book, Rippling, How Social Entrepreneurs Spread Innovation Throughout the World. Welcome, Beverly.
Thank you, Jimmy. Glad to be here.
Beverly, how would you define social entrepreneurship?
Social entrepreneurs are individuals with innovative solutions to society's most pressing social problems. They're ambitious, they're persistent, they tackle major social issues, and offer new ideas for wide-scale change. Importantly, they also bring about deep, lasting, and systemic social change.
Now, your book, Rippling, how did you select that title for your book?
Well, it's interesting how it came up in starting to write the introduction. I just kept on seeing this image of the fellows, the change makers, the people that we work with at Ashoka sort of just rippling a pond and sort of the ripples in a pond of poverty, inequity, and inadequate access to opportunity, and how sort of each one of them drops in a solution and they scale it out, and the people that work with them, who we call change makers, picks up the idea, gets involved in it, and then scales it even further. So it just seemed to me like the perfect visual to this was a rippling in a water. And in fact, that's what the cover of the book became, and that's what the whole image of writing the book was, is how many ripples can we drop into the sea of poverty, and how do we drop enough ripples in to get rid of it, eradicate it for all time.
Right. And it's great imagery because you can also think of multiple ripples kind of magnifying each other and actually making a bigger impact as well.
Well, yes. And, you know, there's an ecosystem underneath all those ripples that make a lot of things work. And so, you know, just like sort of an ocean, under the surface you get the fish, the corals, the bacteria, the algae. It's a whole ecosystem that makes it all happen, and it's all sort of sitting underneath those ripples.
Right. Now, Beverly, can you talk about the virtual cycles you mentioned in the book that the social entrepreneurs are working to create? Because it's, when we think of rippling, it's a very good imagery as far as going out in all different directions, but it's actually more of a cycle as you describe it. Is that correct?
Yes. And, you know, it's one of my favorite things about social entrepreneurs is it's just not having a great idea that works sort of on a linear process, but it goes horizontal and vertical. So a virtuous cycle, sort of it starts and it ends, and everything within the project or the idea has a value. So case in point, there's a chapter around a Nigerian security guard who became a social entrepreneur around trying to sort of eradicate the issue of having no toilets available, no portable toilets, no public toilets available in most of the country of Nigeria. And he started by bringing the industry to Nigeria by hiring homeless and out-of-work men and youth to build the toilets, which is, again, a brand-new industry for Nigeria. And then he leases the fee for youth toilets to single head-of-household women, creating a sort of a cycle of the building, the leasing, and then the eventual ownership that leasing of the toilets goes towards eventual ownership by the women. And that whole cycle just perpetuates, takes people who are out of work, who are way, way, way below the poverty line, who are struggling to care for a family on their own, and gives them opportunity and access throughout the entire design of the project. That, to me, is what I call a virtuous cycle.
With these virtuous cycles, there's a sense of empowerment and also new opportunity that brings the enthusiasm necessary for change to happen at a wider scale.
Oh, absolutely. And what happens is, even taking the single head of household woman in this particular project, one of them that I profiled in the book owns 14 leases for 14 toilets. Her children, her four children help her. She has now put each of those children through school, two of them at the university. from these leases that she owns. And one of the children that just graduated the university came back to Isaac, who's the original origin, the social entrepreneur in this project, and had a great idea for how to use the franchise model for a street cleaning model in the streets of Lagos. And to me, that shows how that virtuous cycle keeps on cycling throughout generations, throughout other people, throughout, you know, the best of it would be, you know, creating a template that other people can replicate. And this happens constantly when a virtuous cycle is created. It's just overlapping, integrating, interchanging. Each one energizes the next cycle. It could have never-ending impact.
And Beverly, so before all these virtuous circles happening, let's talk about the starting point. Can you describe kind of the tipping point at which a social entrepreneur makes that decision to take the first step toward change?
You know, I wish I could. I wish I could quantify it, but this is something that's sort of intuitive, instinctual, and the best I could say was after working with these in depth with these 18 people in the book, I came to realize that each one of them is associated to the idea by some past experience. And that past experience, life experience of some sort, and a chance encounter with somebody of some sort, it just eats away at them. And there is a point where they just decide they need to do something about it. So there was a story in the book from India about a veterinarian who was riding on a rickshaw. And it always bothered him that the rickshaw drivers were such an underclass in India. And finally, one day, he was riding it late at night, and he was sort of in a talkative mood and started to talk to the rickshaw driver. And it was within that conversation that something just clicked on him. But it wasn't at that moment. It was something that has bothered him for years. So I wish I could quantify the moment, the reason why, or how it happens, but it's one of these instinctual, intuitive tipping points that are different for everybody. And everybody finds that point where they decide to take a risk and do something, and it's different for everybody.
Right. And so let's take, for example, if one of our listeners has reached the point at which they're interested and taking that first step. Do you have any tips for them as they're interested in becoming social entrepreneurs?
Well, you know, it's funny because in the prologue of my book, which is very written much from my heart and my experience, I basically say just dive into that. Take the leap off the high board. Dive in heart first. If you have a great idea and you feel like you really need to do something, then don't feel disempowered. Don't feel that you're not good enough. Because if somebody else does that idea or you don't implement what's bothering you, you'll always regret it. So I think my best advice is if you think you have a good idea, find people to talk to. Find people who are entrepreneurs that will listen to the idea and help you refine it. Not tell you if it's good or bad, because basically that's your decision to make. That's not somebody else's decision to make. But you decide, they help you refine it, they ask you questions about it, they'll help you shape it, and then you decide if it's worthwhile going forward with it. But deciding not to do anything isn't acceptable to me, and it's probably not acceptable to a true entrepreneur at all. So, in fact, the very last conclusion on the book does give some rules for thinking about tomorrow and doing something about your action. But I really think that if you have a good idea and you have passion and you have a good purpose and you're persistent, you should try to implement the idea that's burning in your heart.
Well, thank you, Beverly, for sharing your knowledge with our listeners today. Beverly Schwartz is the author of the book Rippling, How Social Entrepreneurs Spread Innovation Throughout the World. Thank you, listeners, for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, you'll find more programs like it in the Multimedia Archive at grantspace.org, the Foundation Center's learning community for the social sector. You can also find our Philanthropy Chat podcasts on iTunes. We invite you to visit us in person to use the Foundation Center's free services at our locations nationwide, including our library learning centers in Atlanta, Cleveland, New York, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C. Thank you for joining us.